that if Christ crucified meant many sons coming to glory, then he would not have had, you know, he would not have influenced the world. Or he would have, you know, done the exact opposite. Because he knows that people going where he's going is what hurts God. So whether he knew it or not, he was an instrument of God in doing what he did. So I believe that these rulers were the rulers of darkness that Paul was talking about. He has said that if they had known the mystery of God, they would not have crucified our Lord. And it's true. If they had known what God's plan was, I think they would have resisted. I don't think they would have gone along with it. So it was kept a mystery from them too. And I think for the Jews, as far as the Jews goes, they were just rejecting it. They just weren't seeing it or understanding it. You know, and that was, you know, that's, you know, John Corson had a good point there. You know, that's, I believe that the enemy is the one who, if he had known, would not have crucified our Lord. So, in verse 9, he says, as it is written, and it was that's and this comes from Isaiah 64 and 65, said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of mankind, the understanding or comprehension of mankind, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, for those who love God. The things that God has prepared, they're already waiting. These things that God has prepared for those who love him. In Romans, of course, 8:28, all things work together. These things, some people, you know, thinking, looking ahead to heaven, oh, the things that God has prepared for us, oh, the streets of gold and the beauty of heaven. But you know what? We have these things now, right here. His word tells us that we have all things pertaining to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. And if that means we're in Jesus Christ now, so we are not only co-heirs with him of everything. I mean, right now we have everything that God is and has is ours. It's not just, you know, in the eternity. It's for now. And you know, we often lose sight of that. And of course, when we lose sight of that, we think, well, I got to drudge through this, you know. When we can get up, you know, every day and take advantage of that. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm any different. There are days when I get up and I don't go to the source of my joy and strength and power. But I'm more consistent than I used to be. And that's why God has made us a family, so that we can come together and remind each other of those things. So the things that God has prepared for us, he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart. Because those things that God has said and done for our good can only be discerned from his Spirit. And most of mankind does not have his Spirit living in them. We see things that the world doesn't see. We see God's face in his creation. We sense his presence in us and around us. And we hear him speak to us, either through his word, through one of his people, or from himself, that still small voice. The world doesn't have that. They are going on the wisdom of the world and the influence of the God of this world. So the things that God has prepared for us, they aren't aware of. They can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. And, you know, I've always said, how can you have a relationship with someone you don't believe in, that you don't believe exists? I mean, you know, that's, I think that's, would probably take you right out of society. But, you know, how can you have a relationship with someone that is not real? God is real. The Holy Spirit is real. We know where God our Father is. He's sitting on his throne in heaven. His Son Jesus is at his side. His Spirit is here with us. And he is with us. He is a person. He's not, you know, an essence. He's a person you can have a relationship with. And he wants us to know that, because it's hard to have a relationship with someone who isn't there. Like our worship this morning, it was definitely Holy Spirit led. How could we sing those songs if we didn't believe them? If it wasn't the Holy Spirit in us telling us, you know, reminding us how good our Father is and how worthy of our thanks and praise he is. So I love it that, you know, God reminds us that he is a person, his Son is a person, and his Holy Spirit is a person. So he said he wouldn't leave us here alone, and that's, we're living proof that he hasn't. So he says that we who are spiritual, we judge things in a spiritual way, not the way the world judges things. You know, Jesus came and he turned the world upside down with the things he said. He said that we're to, we should see people the way that he does. And coming to know him, I know that he loves everybody. Yeah, even the people that the world rejects, he loves them. He may not like what they're doing. I know he didn't like what I was doing. That's why he called me to himself. He wanted me to see what was really going on. And that veil of lies that the enemy, the God of this world, has over the eyes of everybody out there can be lifted. He wants that lifted. He wants them to see. He doesn't want that anybody should perish. And that's why he is still working today. He's not going to give up until that last person has come into the kingdom. So, said the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit because they sound like foolishness to him. Because they do. The things of God sound like foolishness to the natural man. But the natural man is perishing. And the Spirit, the natural Spirit, wars against the Spirit. You know, our human nature wars against our Spirit. Because if I didn't have, you know, the Spirit of God wasn't living in me, there was no war. I was doing what I wanted to. I wasn't very happy, man, but I was doing what I wanted to. But then when Jesus came into my life and taught me the truth, then that's when I had life. But then there was still that natural man. I didn't want to give up. Didn't want to give up its position. So that war is constant and will be while I still have this flesh. But the day is coming when the Lord is going to redeem that also. So he who is spiritual judges all things, because, and the only reason we can is because we have the Spirit of God living in us. But he also said that we are rightly judged by no one. Why is that? Why can't anybody judge us? We shouldn't, you know, Paul said he doesn't even judge himself. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's the job of Jesus Christ to judge. That's why no one can judge me. Because I've already been judged. I was judged in Jesus Christ. So, it says, for who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I have often counseled God, only to find out that my counsel was foolishness. Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord tells us, as soon as I can find it here. In Isaiah, in chapter 40, in verse 13, the word tells us, asks us, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counsel has taught him, With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Certainly wasn't me. You know, he is the beginning of all those things. That's, we can't tell God what to do. I mean, in our prayers, sometimes we do. Try to anyway. And that's one thing that he's spoken to me recently is, you know, what prayer is not telling me what to do. It's presenting the situation and asking for help because I am helpless. And that really helped me in my prayer life. And also in Isaiah in 55, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And this is what the Lord speaks to me every time I try to counsel him. Sometimes when I pray, the prayer is urgent to me, and I try to, instruct God on how we should handle this prayer, how we should handle the answer. And these are the things that he reminds me of. And I'm glad he does. I'm glad he doesn't let me think that, I can direct him in anything. I just, he wants us to pray because that's what's in our heart. So, who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And then Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Which, without that, we would be right back where we were. If we weren't thinking according to the wisdom that Jesus has revealed to us, we would be just living the way we were before. We would have no life in us. It's that mind of Christ in us. It's the Spirit of Christ in us teaching us the ways of God that is the only reason we have any peace or joy at all in this world, especially in the trouble and the trials that we have to go through. So John 14, 16. And I love the way John always pointed out the relationship end of the covenant that God has with mankind now. John 14, 16 reads, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." That is the life that's in us, the Spirit of truth, God himself living in us. And I just want to read something to you here that Pastor Chuck mentioned. He said, "The mind that was in Christ was the mind that was willing to step down, a mind of humility. We have the mind of Christ," Paul said, "that mind which doesn't exalt itself or its own wisdom, but that mind that submits to God and to the will and the authority of God." So if we have this mind in us, there aren't going to be any divisions in the family of God. We're going to be looking at Jesus. We're going to be looking at our Father. We're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. And those divisions are not going to happen. And when we see them happening, we should, in love, just point these things out, from the Word of God, with the heart of God, point them out. Because I know God's heart is breaking. I know his heart is breaking not just because the body of Christ doesn't have the same testimony and is not speaking the same thing, but because people who are watching are turning away because they're confused and they don't understand. I confess, I don't understand either. I just know it's happening. And, as much as depends on us, we need to, be that salve that heals those divisions. I don't want to be at odds with anyone. I'm not going to argue with anybody. But if we all keep it simple, that's why God said he loves the world, he gave his son, and whoever believes in him will not perish. If we keep that the focal point of our relationship with each other and with God, then I don't see how there can be any divisions in the church. other than, you know, we give in to the natural man and just, you know, follow that counsel. I don't want to have any power in the church. It's his church. I don't want to usurp his power. I don't want, you know, I want what he's promised. He promised me eternal life. He promised me paradise. He promised me no more sorrow, no more tears, joy evermore. That I don't want to miss out on that, and I don't want to delay it. And I don't want anybody else to miss out on that either. So I know this is one of the things that God put on my heart when I first believed. You know, that was one of the first things I asked him. Well, how many come there are so many different churches? And he said, there isn't. There's just one. So as much as it depends on us, you know, we just need to draw together, keep our eyes on Jesus, not compare ourselves to anybody else. Let him have his way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that when we seem to wander off and lose our way, Lord, you always call us back to the place where we found our way. Lord, where we're standing at the foot of the cross and remembering that you did it all. We did nothing. You called us. You loved us. You gave us the truth. And you forgave us. Lord, help us to live the way that you've called us to live, Lord. We don't want to be responsible for any divisions, Lord, for anybody misunderstanding you. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be seen and loved and heard. And Lord, we just want you to have your way, Lord. Thank you for this family. Lord, thank you for being patient for us while we learn these things. Lord, we pray for the strength and the power and the equipping, Lord, to correct this in any way we can. Lord, we just don't want to grieve you anymore. Lord, we all have loved ones who may not know the truth yet, Lord. And I don't want them to be confused because they think the church is confused. Help us, Lord, to all have the same testimony and all speak the same thing. Because you're always the same. And we love you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Thanks for coming.